like that there is something prophetic happening in, on many different levels for not only for us, but for us as a tribe. You know, it's been an interesting 9 months. I don't know if you're aware, but we are now in the 9th month of the new season that started in September. Hmm. We, the Lord spoke to us that it was time to kind of move out of the larger venue and come back into the home. And so we've been doing that now for these past 9 months. And I don't have to tell you that 9 months is a pretty significant marker, right? What's the significance of that, Marie?
Birth. Giving birth.
Exactly, giving birth. So, and you know, the way the Lord works with me is he will often start to stir things in me, but in a way where I'm growing increasingly dissatisfied. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Where it's like, God, there's more. There's more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I try to be really careful about it because I'm also on this quest to kill negativity. So you see the fine lines. You gotta walk there, right? It's like, okay, Lord, I'm feeling some kind of way here that there's nothing, something's more missing. There's more that you have for us. And he does that for me on, you know, different occasions, because that's just how I am. I don't know. So anyway, this morning, happened to catch a Periscope by Lance Waldow, in which he references one of my favorite scripture passages, which is Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 has been kind of a foundational scripture for me as it relates to just ministry stuff. And so it was like all this stuff just began to pour down and come together right this afternoon. So you guys are here, and I love the fact that I have all of you here today. I'm also going to record this so that those that couldn't make it, I'll be able to send it to them to watch. But we are at, I think, a very strategic juncture in what God is doing through this tribe. So the first thing I want to do is I want to read Acts chapter 4, at least most of it, and then I'm going to share some thoughts with you about it tonight. So have your Bibles. If not, just listen to me. That's all. Acts chapter 4, okay? It says that as they were speaking to the people, this is Peter and John, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You might recall that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection for some strange reason. So, of course, they were very upset about that. And so these leaders laid hands on Peter and John and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000.
Wow.
I'm like, what? 5,000 people from just one incident. And just so you know, what happened in chapter... Who knows what happened in Acts chapter 3 that precipitated all of this? James and John were in the temple, going into the temple, and who did they meet? Beautiful gate, yeah, right. This guy that was lame from birth, right? And what happened?
I'm broke, but here you go.
Exactly, right? And come on, some of you have been around long enough to remember the old Sunday school song that he was leaping
All right.
So that's what happened. That's what's precipitating the events here in chapter 4. All right? So the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander. I have no idea who these guys are. Anyway, and all who were of high priestly descent. So basically all the great poobahs of that generation were there. All right. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, by the way, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David your servant said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. We'll stop there for now. This has been such a foundational scripture for me in my life as I have looked at what the Lord wants for this, for the body of Christ, to really be coming to do. And so, as we mentioned, Peter and John, they got into trouble for what? For engaging in supernatural activity. Okay. Think about it. They were engaging in supernatural activities, healing this guy that was there, had been, you know, from birth, right? And they got in trouble. They, all of a sudden, there was some serious opposition to what they were trying to do, right? And so they said, when after they had been through all of this and they were about to leave this council, you know, we just read this in verse 19 and 20 that, you know, we're going to do what God said. But I want you to focus on this last phrase here. It says, "For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, these guys obviously had the privilege of actually seeing and hearing Jesus in the flesh, right? They lived with him, worked with him, walked with him. All the things that they did with Jesus was theirs. They had that in their mind, in their spirit. But even beyond that, they had the same Holy Spirit that we do, right? So what they were seeing and hearing, yeah, there was memories of Christ, but there was also fresh revelation. Why do you think Peter looked at that guy and said, oh, I got to heal him? Because Holy Spirit prompted him to do that. And so when this happened, and they said to the Sanhedrin, basically, we can't stop talking about what we've seen or heard. And we're not. We're not going to stop doing this. And so that's something that we've got to recognize, that this prophetic thing that we've been called into is no different than what they did. No different than what Peter and John did when they came into the temple. We are called into that same prophetic flow. And I love that, right? Mm-hmm. So in that day, the challenge that they faced was, well, what are we going to do now that we have been called out by the leadership and basically commanded not to do this? How are we going to respond to that? Because, yeah, they said to their face, well, you know what? You be the judge whether should we listen to you or God? Okay. But nonetheless, this was a challenge that had been thrown down against what they were called to do. Anybody here facing any challenges or have faced challenges in your walk concerning what God's called you to do?
Yeah.
This is where we all live. Right? We live in a place where we're being challenged concerning the things that God's called us to do. Right? And so, just as they had to learn how to respond to that opposition, so do we. We're in a place of learning how do we respond to the challenges, to the opposition that we face on a daily basis. So what did they do? Verse 23, it says that when they'd been released, they went to their own companions and began to share what had happened. Look around this room and recognize your companions. What Peter and John had is no different than what we have. We have a tribe of people who are extremely passionate about seeing God's kingdom established and extended in the earth, seeing the will of the Father done, the king's decrees being made and accomplished for his glory. This is the tribe that's been drawn together by the Father to do things. Okay? And so they went to their tribe for support and for action. This wasn't just, you know, we like to talk about we're going to support each other, right? It's a whole lot more than just saying it. They went to their tribe and they took action. Right? And so that's what we get to do for one another. That we have been drawn together, brought together by the Father to be the tribe that each of us needs so that we can accomplish what we've been called to accomplish, both individually and corporately. All right? Each of us has a destiny, has a purpose, has a plan that God's created us for. And yeah, that's huge. And we want to make sure that you're focused on that, you're functioning in that, you're seeing progress in that. But guess what? There's also this corporate thing that God has given us, because when you combine anointings, when you combine callings, when you combine destinies for a common purpose, you have an explosion of capability. Right? What does the word say? That one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts what?
10,000.
That's exponential growth. That's exponential power, right? So we get to be that tribe of support and action for each other and whoever God happens to bring our way. Because you know how we do. If you come into this circle, well, you're going to get whacked in a good way, right? Not the Italian way, the good way.
Nobody like this.
Meatballs and the sausages.
Exactly. So what was the action that they took in response to what Peter and John experienced by being thrown in jail, being put in front of the leadership of their day, and basically being commanded to never talk about Jesus again. Well, verse 24, when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and began to pray and began to declare. Now, the obvious joke is, how do they all fit into one car? We're gonna bypass that, okay? How do they all fit into one accord, all right? I know some of you.
I got it.
All right? I know some of you. So let's leave that aside, because I don't know how the clown car thing worked back then. But I want to just look at this concept of being in one accord for a moment, being in unity. Because, you know, there's a misconception about this idea that people believe that to be in one accord, to be in unity, means we all have to think the same about everything. And that's not true. We are all able to come to our own conclusions. We're all able to walk with the Lord and receive what we believe He's telling us. Now, we're gonna rub shoulders and we're gonna challenge each other on things that seem, you know, a little off or that we don't understand. And that's a good thing, because that's how we grow, right? Iron sharpens iron and all of that, right? But the one accord that's being referred to here is a coming together around Jesus. It's a coming together around what He is prioritizing at that moment. And let me tell you something. Once we start to see that, once we start to understand that we're here to focus on Jesus, to focus on what He's saying, what He's doing, what He wants, the limitations start to drop off. The limitations go away. Why? Because that's how it works. This is how it works, right? Jesus said, and I know this is probably not the proper interpretation of it, but He said, if I'm lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to myself, right? There's something there about lifting Jesus up so that He is the preeminent one in any gathering, and that's our heart. He is the preeminent one, okay? So what did they do? Well, they came together in this place of unity over the fact that they were being stopped, or they were attempting to stop them from fulfilling the mandate of the kingdom of God. The ruler said, you're not going to do this anymore. We forbid it. If you do it, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. They were threatening them, basically, right? So everybody came together around that idea. So wait a minute. We don't serve these people. We serve the King, and we know what He wants. And so that was the unifying thing that enabled them to come together and pray in unity and declare in unity. And that's the thing that is so exciting about what we get to do as a tribe. That the Lord is wanting us to receive that level of revelation from Him, so that our prayer, our decree, our declaration together, that's unified. That we can all agree, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what He's emphasizing, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to agree with that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay? So that's what they were in one accord about, and began to pray, began to declare. And so in verses 29 and 30, you know, they said, Lord, take note of their threats, and we're just simply asking for that You would give us some extra boldness in the face of this challenge. In the face of this opposition, Lord, just give us that extra shot of boldness so that we can go out there and continue to proclaim Your word, right? So we can speak Your word with all confidence. Let me tell you today, I am prophesying over every single one of you that this season is a season where you're going to rise up into a greater level of confidence in who you are and what you've been called to carry.
Thank you.
Because you've been called to carry an element, a portion of the presence, the values, the power of the living God into the spheres of influence that you've been given. And the lack of confidence that has been so prevalent in the body of Christ, I'm telling you today, that is going away. That there's a corner's been turned for many of you tonight where you're going to no longer allow for those kinds of fears and intimidations that the devil's used in the past to shut your mouth. I just rip that covering off of your mouth right now. Take your hands off of your mouth. Take whatever's on your mouth and say, no.
No.
I am free to declare what the Lord has given me to declare. Amen. Thank you, God. And so that's what they did. And they prayed, Lord, would you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of Jesus. Right? Because that was the issue, wasn't it? You can't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And so they're saying, later for that. We're going to do it, and it's going to even grow more and more. More signs, more wonders, more miracles, more healing through the name of Jesus. What did they do? They ran at the enemy. They weren't shrinking back. They weren't saying, well, what if we get thrown in jail? What if you do? We're going to be like David as he ran to Goliath, right? We're going to run at the enemy with the word of the Lord that we have.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about in terms of this confidence that the Lord is giving to us. And so the key takeaway for this right here, and this is for us as we continue to meet together, as we continue to move forward, there is always a solution from heaven for every opposition and challenge. There's always a solution from heaven to meet and defeat every opposition, every challenge that we face as a tribe, that we face as individuals, that people who come here for our help, whatever they're facing, there is a solution from heaven that God has given us the capacity to see and release on their behalf, right? So what happened once they came into this place of seeing exactly what Jesus was talking about, what he wanted to do, and they began to pray that and declare that? Well, what happened? Acts 4:31 says that when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. Not stirred. It was shaken. Sorry, these cultural references just pop in. Just pray for me. Right? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Papa answered their prayer. Mm-hmm. He answered their prayer, and there was, and this, I love this, something shifted in the earth realm. Something shifted in the earth realm. The place was shaken. I don't know what, you know, how that looked or what, you know, what the result of that was long term. I don't have any clue. I just love the fact that the place in which they were was shaken. Because why? They had achieved a level of unity in their praying and declaration that I just believe the Lord was so excited about that he just started doing the Rosa dance. Right. I'm serious. And, you know, when the Lord starts doing that kind of dancing, man, you know, stuff's got to shake. Right? So that's something that I think is a challenge for us, is to recognize that we're just not simply doing stuff here, but there's an impact that's going to do something in the earth realm of this region and maybe beyond. I don't know. I don't want to put any limits on what God is saying or showing us here about what's possible. I'm just excited about what is possible. That we as a tribe coming together, we will see God answer the prayers and the declarations that we make, and we're going to see something shift in the earth realm.
Amen.
Because of it. Man, that's awesome, right? And so what were some of the other results of this particular incident where they got together and prayed and declared in this way? Well, the following verses talk about how the congregation were of one heart and soul, how they were so willing to share of their material goods with one another. I mean, just an amazing thing. There was power that the apostles were expressing through their preaching. There was not a needy person among them. So what is that? Let me summarize this for you. Acts 4:32-35. Let me summarize this for you. That this is what we call functional unity. Functional unity. I don't know about you, but I've been part of ecumenical meetings and things over the years where various denominations, organizations, streams, whatever, would come together as a way to foster unity, as a way to, I don't know, unity. It's all about unity, right? And so we'd have these wonderful meetings. And we'd pray, we'd worship, and it was great. But when it was over, the unity was over. Nobody stayed in touch. Nobody did anything, beyond simply, okay, we met in unity. Let's check that off and move on. Go back to whatever it is that we normally do. Okay? But what we see here is an example of functional unity, where the unity was actually expressed through actions and behavior and commitments. Decisions were made to actually live out the unity, right, that was experienced in that awesome moment of praying and shaking and everything that was going on, right? So the functional unity, the love for one another, was expressed in very practical ways. And what did it result in? It resulted in economic freedom for people. Economic freedom. That's a fascinating thought. That the blessing of God was released in an even greater way out of that place of functional unity. This is something that's challenging. It's challenging because we don't know what that's like. I'm speaking to myself here, please. That as American Christians, we tend to simply stay in our own little circle, our own little place, our own little house. Okay? And I know God is challenging us about that. That there's things that He wants to do in this tribe where we can begin to really enter in and serve one another and help one another and be there for one another and do things that we've never done before for one another. I don't know what that's going to look like. And I wouldn't even want to touch describing what it would look like, because that's not up to me. That's a Holy Spirit thing. He's the one that's got to show each of us what does that look like. I'm just really, kind of blown away by the possibilities of it. But what would that look like if we started to function that way? Economic freedom. And it also talks about abundant grace was upon them all. I love that. Because, the grace of God. Some of you may have grown up under the definition of grace, of unmerited favor. And I love Graham Cook's take on that. He said, well, the problem with that definition is that if grace is unmerited favor, then Jesus didn't have any. Because unmerited means undeserved, right? And yet it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. So what is grace? Grace is the empowering presence of God that enables us to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. Philippians 2:13 is the best definition of grace that you'll ever find. God is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. That's grace. And so abundant grace, what does that mean? You know what grace is, guys? Grace is the easy button. It's the easy button of the Christian life. It just basically says, Lord, I see what you're saying. And I thank you right now that you're empowering me to do this thing right here that you just told me you want me to do. It's no longer, how am I going to do that? No, if God said do it, with that comes the grace. Amen. And as we step out in obedience to Him, what does that do? That frees Him to release even more grace. Amen. He's going to release even more, so we'll be able to go beyond what we thought was possible. Because abundant grace will be upon us all as we move out into this. And of course, it reminded me of 2 Corinthians 9:8. It's another one of my favorite verses. It says that God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. That's what he has for us. No lack in provision or finance or strength or faith, ability, whatever it might be. All grace abounding to us. Are you excited?
Yes.
I'm telling you. So, 9 months that we've been here in this house, something's got to get birthed. Okay? Because if it don't, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be miserable. And you don't want me to be miserable, do you? All right. Here's the changes that and the kind of the new emphases that I feel the Lord is saying. And I want to hear from you. When I'm finished here, I really want to hear some feedback, because I never want anybody to think that I've got all the answers. I really don't. No. I'm giving you no, I said that.
Other than me.
Other than you. I try my best to hear from the Lord, obviously, and share what he shows me. But I also believe that the Lord obviously can speak to any one of you, and I want to hear what God is saying. So here's some things, right? First one is, it's time to launch your lighthouse. What do I mean by that? The reason why we've been in this 9 months here is so that you could get a feeling for it, an understanding of what house church looks like. Okay? Have we been successful in that? I hope so. I don't know. But it's been a fun 9 month period where we've just met together. It's very low key. We just kind of hung out. We worship. We would share. We pray. We do stuff. And in this 9 months, you've had an opportunity to experience that for yourself. But most of you here in this room have the capability to start one of these in your own home, even if it's just with two or three people. Okay? And I'm telling you, this is what I feel the Lord is saying. I am not coming after anybody. I am not going to check up on you. I am simply saying that I feel very strongly he's saying it's time to launch your lighthouse. Okay? If you have any questions or you want to talk with me about it, feel free. I'd be happy to do that. This is one of the major focus or emphasis that the Lord gave to us when we first launched this ministry in 2006, was to see house churches birth and see regional ministry, which I'll talk about in a minute. Okay? So that's the first one, right? Now, Heaven's Invasion, this little thing here that we do, this may surprise you, but Heaven's Invasion was never meant to be a lighthouse or just a lighthouse. Yeah, with that. But it was never meant to be that. And I actually kind of lost sight of that over these past number of months. Because I knew God was emphasizing the lighthouse. I knew that he wanted that to happen. But in the process of that, I kind of lost sight of some of the other stuff that he's gifted me to do. Okay? So it was never meant to be just a lighthouse, but rather, Heaven's Invasion is a training ground gathering. Hear that? A training ground gathering. Okay? Of the ecclesia. Now, when I use the word ecclesia, which is the Greek word from which church, right? I'm talking about the legislative aspect that we as the body of Christ are supposed to function in. Because Jesus deliberately took that word from Greek culture of his day because it does speak of legislation. In Jesus' day, you probably already know this, but I'll just repeat it. The ecclesia was the name given to the meeting of the citizens of a particular city or region. And they would come together. This was just citizens now. If you weren't a citizen, you weren't allowed in the meeting. And the purpose of that meeting was to discuss the issues of their day and come up with solutions for the problems that they were facing in that city or region. That's why they met. And they would debate. They would propose certain rules and legislation, and if everybody agreed, or they voted on it and it passed, guess what? That became the law for that city. Okay? And so Jesus took that word and applied it to the church, because we are those who have been given authority on the earth in the kingdom of God to do stuff. And I've been like, God, we've got to get this. It's time. We've got to learn what this is all about so that we can really fulfill all that you desire for us to do as the body of Christ here. So that's an issue that we're going to pursue. We are charged with legislative responsibilities for the benefit of God's people and the region. Okay? There are many of us and many others that are illegally in bondage that we are charged with the ability to set them free. There are many things happening in the region that shouldn't be happening because they're not God's will. What is that going to look like? I don't know. I just know that this is something that we can't ignore. At least I can't ignore any longer. And if you're called to this tribe, thank you. And let's do this together, all right? Next one. We are a prophetic catalyst for the release of God's people from illegal opposition. A prophetic catalyst. I was so taken by that idea that when we gather together, and the prophetic, the Holy Spirit begins flowing. Y'all know what it's like to be on the hot seat, right? How powerful that is when it's your turn to be on the hot seat. And you're just getting blasted with word after word after word from the heart of the Father, and the clarity and the freedom and the power that there is in that. That's what we get to do. Every single one of you here is so prophetic. It's amazing. Well, you know what? God is going to focus that like a laser. And we're going to do some amazing things because of that. So we're a prophetic catalyst that's going to help people get released from illegal opposition and the freedom of their full purpose and destiny in Christ. All right? We meet... Oh, man, I love this. We meet to stir up and elevate personal revival. You know what that means? Personal revival is walking out all that you are as a son or daughter of the Most High. Because, look, come on, think about it. Most of the church, sadly, occupies a pew every Sunday and feels like they've done something. So we're here to stir up and elevate each other into greater expressions and greater experiences of personal revival so that we can truly be salt and light wherever God calls us to go. I don't know about you. I want that. Yeah. I want my shadow to heal people. Yeah. You know, I want to have no qualms about raising somebody that drops dead in front of me. Am I there yet? No, I'm not. But we're here to help each other, to stir that up, to encourage one another, to challenge one another about things, right? We can be real with one another. We can talk about the situations where, man, I blew that. I just realized that I could have done that. Well, you know what? Now that you realize it, go do it next time. Because why? Because we understand that in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, there is no failure. We fail forward. Every time we miss the mark on something, it's just another opportunity to learn and grow in wisdom so that next time, not going to happen. All right? So we also meet to encourage and functionally support the vision that God has given to each one. We all need that encouragement, right? We all have awesome vision, awesome destiny and purpose in our life, but we also live in a world of massive discouragement. You all know people that have the ministry of discouragement. And all they can do is speak negatively over things and to you and tell you, you're crazy. What do you think you are, right? So we've got, in our meeting together, we've got to be those that encourage each other to stay the course and support each other in a functional way. What does that look like? Well, for example, let's say that God's called you to start something, right? and it's like, oh, that's pretty cool, but none of us show up, or none of us care about it, we don't do anything. Mm-mm. No. Whatever that, you know, I don't know what that looks like specifically, but I can give you an example. Heaven's Clinic, right? I couldn't do Heaven's Clinic by myself. I wouldn't do it. But people saw that and said, well, that's cool. I'm gonna come and be part of that. And that's functional support. I'm not saying that, you know, pray, please. I love prayer. You can pray for me all you want. But prayer and action are two different things. Does it make sense? Again, I'm trying to shift us out of the religious mindset, which says, well, we had a prayer meeting, we accomplished something. Yeah, we did, but we didn't accomplish something. All right, we accomplished something, but not something. All right, you didn't. So, next one is we meet. Oh, I love this one. We meet to bring the good news and the power of God out into the streets. Does anybody want to go out on the streets?
Yes.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Come on. I was like, we're going to schedule stuff. We're going to try to make things happen. Now the weather is finally turning. Hallelujah. My gosh, what a spring this has been, right? So street stuff is definitely something that we're going to start to do on a regular basis. And then the final one is meeting to celebrate the unity of the body of Christ in our region. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. I'm almost done. Thank you for your attention here. So, I don't know, I felt led to just remind you of the four cornerstone beliefs that we have here as a tribe. Number one, God is good. Right? Exactly. Jesus paid it all. Mm-hmm. Nothing left to do. He's done it all. Every person has significance and destiny. Every person, even the homeless guy that's laying there in the gutter, was created with purpose and destiny. You want a heart transplant? Go where the homeless people are and ask Papa to show you what he had in mind for them from the beginning. It will break your heart. I'm telling you, if I start thinking about it too much, I'll start crying right now. The last one is that nothing is impossible for us who are in Christ. Those are our four foundational beliefs concerning who we are and what we do. Okay? Final thing I want to express to you tonight is what I understand so far about what my role is. And I say that, I want to clarify that for you because, again, over these past number of months, I have tried very hard to step back so that the house church thing could happen without me. Okay, I pretty much failed at that, I'll be honest with you. I just... But it is what it is. And so right now, what the Lord was showing me, and again, I want your feedback, whether you want to do it now or in private at some other point, I really want your feedback on this. He brought me to the things that he's called me to, that I will do as the one that serves in this tribe, okay, from a leadership standpoint. The first thing is, to teach and to train. That's my primary gift. God called me to equip the saints from the earliest days of my walk. Okay? So teaching and training is something that I breathe. I live and breathe. As God show me, you know, give me strategy, show me how to do that better, how to help the people get free. Okay? And I'm doing that in different ways now. I'm doing the daily weekday morning breakfast with Jesus broadcast, where I'm just basically going through scripture, okay? If those of you that want to watch that and connect with me on that level, you'll hear what the Lord gives me from the Word on a regular basis, okay? I also do it, of course, now I'm starting some new things with these online classes. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
We just launched the online class last week on the Courts of Heaven. It's not too late if you want us to be part of it. I have the recording from that first class. You can watch that before Wednesday and catch up if you're interested. Talk to me about that later. I'm going to be doing more online classes going forward. I just feel like it's an easy way for us to do this because not everybody can come out on a weekend, you know, and do stuff. But you know, you can usually spend that time at home you know, because it's just easier. As long as you don't fall asleep on me, it's not candy. All right, that's one thing. And seminars, I'll still be doing that kind of thing. So that's a major component. The other thing that I do, of course, as you all know, is that I'm a life coach. And I can work with people on an individual basis. I can work on a group basis. Much of what's going to happen here, I believe, as we move forward in Heaven's Invasion, is that we're going to be engaging in what I would call a prophetic mastermind. And what is that? That's an opportunity when somebody comes and shares, I have a challenge in my life right now. Oh, okay, no problem. What's Papa saying? And we're just simply going to allow Holy Spirit to release wisdom and revelation, insight, freedom in that kind of a way. I'm excited about that. I think there's a great need for that. Okay. The other thing that I believe God's called me to do is to cast vision, is to do what I'm doing right now, is to help you see a bigger picture of what the Lord's after and to see where perhaps He's calling you to fit in with that. Okay. Then the last one, this is interesting. The Lord said that my role right now is to delegate and release people. Now, you have to understand, the word delegate is, I struck that from my vocabulary for years. Jackie's laughing. The Lord gave her a word about me delegating. How many years ago was that?
No.
A long time ago.
Yeah, wow.
About delegating. You know, and praise the Lord. No problem. Here's how I understand delegation now from a kingdom perspective. If I ever approach somebody about something ministry related, it will never be from a standpoint of you need to do this or you should do this or you must do this. I will never, ever do that because it's not my job. My job would be to say to you, you know, I feel like the Lord's gifted you and anointed you in this particular area, and I think you would be really good at this, and I'd like you to pray about it. That's, to me, what real New Covenant delegation looks like. Okay? It's not a top-down thing. It's a partnership where you're looking at what, you know, what the passions are that somebody has, what the anointing and gifts that they have, mm-hmm. and say, wow, I really think that this would be an awesome thing for you to get involved in, right? And so, having said that, the things that need delegation, and I'm just going to throw them out, because right now that's all I'm going to do is throw them out, is in the areas of outreach and street ministry. People just need to step up. I can't, you know, I'm not going to lead this stuff because that's not me. I don't lead all these things. But I say this is the need that we have, right? Heaven's Clinic. You have no idea how badly I want to delegate leadership of Heaven's Clinic to somebody. I have someone in mind, but I don't know if that's the right person. You may be the person to take over that. Okay? I know I'm not supposed to be the leader of Heaven's Clinic. I know that. Intercession. God really smacked me about intercession. That there needs to be something more structured. I know you all pray. I mean, listen, we all pray, right? But there needs to be something more structured in the way of intercession for this tribe, this ministry, and what God's calling us to. So that, there's something there in terms of leadership. My primary gift is not intercession. I'm not leading that. Just being real, okay? The next area has to do with the merge. Some of you already know what that is. The merge is a regional worship night that Danny Stain, who we're associated with, God gave him a vision for that. There are merges now happening, guys, all over New England.
Mm-hmm.
All over New England. And I believe that we're supposed to start one here. I have to tell you, that every time I've approached this, it's gone nowhere. Literally nowhere. And so I'm like, okay, Papa, I'm not forcing anything. But I know we're supposed to do it. I know we're supposed to have a monthly night of worship. You know, where, and it wouldn't be here, it's going to be probably at Calvary or something, or a place like that where you actually have room to have fun, right? So that's going to require some significant help to do that. Anybody that's ever done an event, you know that that's not a small thing, even if it's not a paid event or, okay, that's an area of leadership. The last thing that I'll draw your attention to is that crazy chart on the wall. Okay? That crazy thing on the wall that I look at that and say, should I just burn that, Lord? Was I on drugs when I saw that? I'm telling you what. There is this stuff that's there. I look at that and say, God, who do I think I am? That all of that would come out of my, you know, brain to think that we could actually do that. But is anything impossible?
No.
So you may look at that chart and say, wow, I'm really drawn to that. And you just might be the person that spearheads one of those areas. I don't know. Okay? So that's what I have to share with you tonight. Any questions, comments, feedback? I know it was a lot. But I do want to give you a chance to share, you know, if you have something immediate that you feel. I know it's a lot. I'm going to make the video available so that anybody that wants to review it, I'll also send everybody a copy of the notes, what they are, so that you can look at them that way as well. All I can say is I love you guys. I really do. I thank you all for just being here and being part of what God has raised up in this place. I honestly feel like that, you know, he's saying, this is the next level. This is the next level. You guys are all equipped and trained. You can start your own lighthouses without a problem. I know that. And I look forward to seeing that happen. But I feel like the Lord is now saying it's time for us to kind of come back to the original purpose of Heaven's Invasion, which is what I've just outlined for you right here. It's a way for us to really be engaged in the things that the Lord wants us to, from a prophetic standpoint, from a training standpoint, and let's see where the Lord is going to go with that. That sound good?